I had mentioned that we had, when COVID first happened, we had the court issue an administrative order 2020-02, which imposed travel restrictions due to COVID-19. That's when we pivoted to the ZoomGov.com format for virtual trial settings, which had not been done in the past. So it was very new to us, very interesting, and I was very proud of our court for the way we were able to transition and make that happen. What then happened is on August 27th of 2021, Administrative Order 2020-02 terminated and replaced that administrative order I just mentioned, and in short, made it clear that we were going back to in-person proceedings as the standard for our winter 2022 sessions. However, we created a new provision so that if the parties actually want a virtual trial, they can have it. And so if the parties would prefer a remote trial, they can file a motion to proceed remotely. And as long as they file that, no later than 31 days before the first day of their trial session, the court should grant it. So what we are allowing parties to do is have the flexibility. They're going to be put on a calendar call. They're going to be put on an in-person proceeding. But we made a provision such that when it makes sense, the court will allow the parties to proceed remotely. And I'm going to talk a lot about when it makes sense and when it doesn't. But that's really a lovely thing and a new tool. So I encourage you to, in the right cases, to take advantage of it. What has been good about our virtual trial sessions? Well, our virtual trial sessions allow cases to be set virtually on any calendar, even before the next calendar case session for a particular city. So in the past, there were cities throughout the United States where the tax court might only show up once a year. And if you needed a continuance, you would have to wait to have your case heard for an entire year. That is no longer the case. We can set special settings for virtual trials almost any time at the convenience of the judge and the parties. Now, there are constraints. You have to have a trial clerk assigned, and you have to have a reporter. But by the most part, it's working, and the parties can actually have justice served much more efficiently, much sooner. So that is a good of the virtual trial settings. A bad is that conducting virtual trials as opposed to in-person proceedings can be a disadvantage if you have a very large number of exhibits to deal with. So if there's lots of exhibits, it's cumbersome to have them pulled up on the screen, to find them, to zoom into the right place that you're talking about, and then have the witness answer questions related to those exhibits. I will also say that a good of the virtual trial session is that special settings are much more flexible, much easier to do. You do not have to go through the process of borrowing a courtroom, making sure it's available. All of those things are eliminated, so that is a good. The continuances can be made, and they can be shorter, which is a good. The remote witnesses are easier to deal with in a virtual setting. So there are times when witnesses just cannot possibly travel to the trial session, and they can be accommodated in a virtual setting, which is a very big good. And then, of course, one of the things that the court has been a beneficiary of, and I think both petitioners and the IRS has embraced, is the virtual settlement days. The virtual settlement days, for those of you who may not know, is that the IRS has instituted these Zoom-type proceedings where taxpayers that are unrepresented can meet with low-income taxpayer clinics and try to resolve their case prior to the day of trial. What that has meant for us is that our calendar calls go much more smoothly because cases that should be settled tend to be settled because the taxpayers have access to doing that. And what the experience has been is that more people show up virtually than showed up in person when the IRS did their settlement days in the past. So that is a good. One big bad is the time zone challenges. So I'm going to give a personal example. As I mentioned at the beginning, I had 3 canceled trial sessions. Well, those trials got spent, all of the cases on those trial sessions, and this goes for every judge at the United States Tax Court, got specially assigned to me, got specially assigned to Judge Cohen, got specially assigned to Judge Pugh, got specially assigned to whatever judge was had the original calendar call. Well, those cases didn't go away. We had to deal with them, so we had to do something to try to get them settled, get them on a calendar, push the parties towards settlement, have telephonic hearings, have virtual hearings, all of that sort of thing. But what most of the judges at the tax court did is when we started doing the Zoom trials again, we moved those cases, say, from Hartford, Connecticut, onto our Dallas, Texas calendar. Or a case from Los Angeles onto a New York calendar. So when you're calling the calendar, it may be 10 a.m. Eastern time, but it's 7 a.m. Pacific. And keeping track of that while the calendar call is going on was, to say the least, a challenge. And then especially setting them for trial, you had to make sure you were saying the right time zone the entire time. So that was a bit of a challenge in the virtual environment. But again, those cases would not otherwise been able to be tried, so that's the positive.